thank the Lord for the privilege of sharing another Way of Truth broadcast with you. This service originates in the radio studios of the Church of God in Hagerstown, Maryland, United States of America. This is Alvin A. Craig speaking. We're certainly thankful you have tuned our way, and we'd like for you to stay with us, trusting the Lord will make our broadcast service a blessing to you. We're opening our broadcast service with a male quartet singing for us, His Truth is Marching On.
Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. He is trampling out the vintage where the grapes of wrath are stored. He has loosed the faithful lightning of His terrible swift sword. His truth is marching.
Marching on, glory.
Truth is important in every area of life, but I would say if there is more important than in other areas, when it comes to our eternity-bound soul, truth is the most important there in that part of our life. And yet, it seems like in the religious world, people are a little concerned about the truth. You're free to believe whatever you want to believe, do whatever you want to do, and still be a Christian. But if truth is important in the material world, what about the spiritual? What about our eternity-bound soul? Heavenly Father, we do pray that you'll bless this broadcast service to this precious people today. It is our desire to be used of thee, to bring them the truth of the gospel, which Paul said is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. So may you bless our congregation today. May you bless this broadcast service to their hearts. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
For so long I had searched for lost meaning, enslaved by the world and its greed. But the door of my prison was opened by love. The ransom was paid, I was free. I'm free from the fear of tomorrow. I'm free from the guilt of the past. For I traded my shackles for a glorious song. I'm free, praise the Lord, free at last. I'm free from the guilt that I from the dull, empty life I'm set free. For when I met Jesus, he made me complete. He forgave me and now I am free. I'm free from the fear of tomorrow. I'm free from the guilt of the past. For I traded my shackles for a glorious song. I'm free, praise the Lord, free at last. I'm free, praise the Lord, free at last.
Our subject for this broadcast, what book are you reading? For a scripture lesson, I have a number of verses I'd like to read. First of all, 1 Timothy 1 and 4. Neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies, which minister questions rather than godly edifying, which is in faith. So do. And then in verse 7 of chapter 4, but refuse profane and old wise fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. And then in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 3 and 4, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables, or in other words, they shall turn to fables. And then in Titus chapter 1 and verse 14, not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men that turn from the truth. So my question today, what book are you reading? Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 tells us, trust in the Lord with all thy heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all of thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. The Apostle Paul tells us, let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. That's Ephesians 5 and 6. And then Jesus said in Luke chapter 8 and verse 18, take heed, therefore, how you hear. On this broadcast, I want to make some statements or quote some statements that you hear in the religious world. And one of those is, we are all sinners. I would ask, what book are you reading? We are told by the Apostle John, or Paul, in Romans chapter 3 and verse 10, there is none righteous, no, not one. But I want you to notice that John, or Paul said, it is written. And I'd like for you to turn back to the book of Psalms, chapter 14, where it is written. And let us consider whether Paul was talking about Christians or not when he said those words found in Romans 3 and 10. We're reading Psalm 14, beginning with verse 1. The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. The Lord looketh down from heaven upon the children of men, to see where any of them did understand and seek God. They are all gone aside. They are altogether become filthy. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Now, was the psalmist here talking about Christians? Well, not according to the first verse, for he said, the fool has said in his heart. And then he goes on and makes those statements. So let us return to chapter 3 of Romans. I quoted verse 10 a while ago, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. And that's one thing that a lot of supposed Christians quote to prove that you have to sin more or less every day in word, deed, and thought. But now I'd like to read on from verse 11. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way, they are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulchre, with their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asp is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now, would you say that the Apostle Paul here is describing the Christian life? Don't just separate verse 10 away from it. Keep it in its proper setting, which I have done on this broadcast today, by reading on down through verse 18. And so we see what the Word of God is talking about, not what some theologian, not some sectarian religion says, but what the Word of God says. Now, another thing, what book are you reading? When you are told that you must join a church to have a church home, and you can join the church of your choice, what book are you reading then? I read in the Word of God, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 14 and 15, "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness?" That's 2 Corinthians 6 and 14 and 15. And we are also told in the Word of God, Jesus speaking to Nicodemus said, "You must be born again." Yes, you must be born again. Nicodemus said, "How? I'm an old man. How can I be born again? How can I enter my mother's womb again and be born?" What book had Nicodemus been reading? Jesus said, "That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again." And it is this new birth that puts us in the church. You cannot join God's church, and it's not a matter of what church you want to join. No, we are told in Acts 2 and 47, the Lord adds to the church daily those that were being saved. And so the way into God's church is by being born again, by being saved. And we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 that the Lord adds to the church daily, puts in the church according to His will. God places the members in the body as it pleaseth Him. That's 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 18. Now, let me ask you another question. What book are you reading when they tell you it makes no difference what you really believe, just as long as you are sincere? Again, what book are they reading when they say that? I read the Word of God, Jesus speaking in John 8 and 31 and 32, "Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on Him, If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." So, does it make any difference what we believe, just as long as we are sincere? No, you can be sincerely wrong. But you can believe and you can accept what Jesus said here as recorded in the Word of God. "Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on Him, If you continue in my word," not in the traditions of men, not in following your own conscience or what you believe, but following the Word of God, "if you then continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." No wonder we read in Proverbs, "Buy the truth and sell it not." And you know, truth does cost you something, yes? "Buy the truth and sell it not. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, you shall be free indeed." And that's John 8 and 36. "If the Son, therefore, shall make you free," and He's the only one that can free you from sin. Yes, Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. And when He finds them, He saves them. He doesn't leave them in sin. He doesn't have them as a church member joining a church somewhere. No, Jesus Christ gave His life, shed His blood, that we could be made free. "Therefore, if the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed." Paul said, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherein Christ has made you free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." That's Galatians chapter 5 and verse 1. So, we are not free to believe whatever we want to believe, and we're not free to join whatever church we may want to join. No, if we want to be free, we must be born again of the Spirit of God. We must receive Jesus Christ, who is the liberator, and He, in saving us, will make us a member of His church. And His church is the only one that you need to belong to. People tell you you need a church home. Well, whenever you're born of God, you're born at home, for you're born into the family of God, the church of the living God. Now, let me also ask you, what church are you reading whenever you are proud and puffed up and you can do whatever you want to do and live any way you want to live? and still be a good Christian. What book are you reading? I read in the Word of God in Proverbs chapter 16, or 6, rather, verses 16 and 17, that there are seven things that God hates. And the very first one that's mentioned there is, God hates a proud look. We also read in the Word of God, in Paul's writings to Timothy and Peter's writings also, that women are to dress in modest apparel. And I wouldn't limit it to women, although both Paul and Peter speak addressing the women, but I would say that modest apparel goes for men as well as for women. And we are to dress in modest apparel with shamefacedness and sobriety. And pride goes before a fall. And pride is what would cause people to want to keep up with the fads and the fashions of this world and disregard what God has to say in His Word. Now, let me ask you another question. We will be able to live holy when the devil is bound. What book are you reading when you hear those things or are told those things? What book is the preacher reading whenever he tells you that whenever the devil is bound, we'll be able to live free from sin, we'll be able to live holy? Did you know, have you ever stopped to consider the fact that the devil is a spirit? We read in Revelation 20 about the dragon being bound, and he's bound with a chain. But you, in the first place, the dragon is not the personal devil. Oh yes, I know in Revelation 12, 9, it speaks about the old dragon being called the devil and Satan. The word Satan means adversary, and the devil means destroyer. And the dragon was indeed an opposer to the early morning church. But the dragon was a type of pagan Rome. Yes, he is the fourth kingdom that we read about in Daniel chapter 2. The Medo-Persian was the second, or after the Babylonian kingdom, which was the first, then the Medo-Persian, then the Grecian, and then the Roman. And it was during the time and rule of the Roman kingdom, symbolized here in Revelation 12 by the dragon, it was there that the stone that was cut out without hands smote this image on his feet. There was four parts to this image that Nebuchadnezzar saw in his dream, and four parts that Daniel interpreted for him. So I say the first was Babylonian, the second was Medo-Persian, the third was the Grecian, and the fourth was the Roman. And the dragon symbolized and represented the same thing as the fourth in Daniel 2. And so the Bible does not teach that the devil will be bound for 1,000 years. Neither does the Bible teach that there will be a literal kingdom that will last for 1,000 years. That's why I have been offering the booklet, Why the Millennial Doctrine is Not Biblical. It's because there will not be a literal kingdom of 1,000 years. The Bible does not teach that. You've got to read that in another book, not the Bible. What does the word bottomless pit mean, as we read about in Revelation? Bottomless pit means something that has no foundation, and pagan religion has no foundation. But God's church is built upon a rock. Jesus Christ said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And so the bottomless pit is something that has no bottom to it. It has no foundation to it. And this doctrine of 1,000-year reign has no real foundation. It is not taught by the Word of God. Now, let me ask you another question. And this time, I do want to speak from the standpoint of the Scriptures. When Jesus comes and time is no more, we will all be judged. And what is written in the book is what we will be judged by. How do you want to stand before the Lord in judgment? A mere church member or a Christian? Do you want to follow the teachings of God's Word, or do you want to be deceived by false doctrines and by the traditions of men? Again, we're all going to stand before the Lord in judgment. We're all going to give an account. And we read in Revelation 20 that the books shall be opened. That's the books of the Bible. And we shall be judged according to the things that are written therein. So we need to take the Word of God. We need to read it. We need to study it. We need to believe it. And we need to live by it, not by the traditions of men. Jesus again said that we should take heed to the things which we hear. And we need to make sure that the things that we hear are thus saith the Lord, and not some tradition of men or some sectarian religion. Now, I have said these things not to find fault or to be critical of anybody, but I would desire to provoke you to study the Word of God and not take what some man has to say about it. The Word of God is forever settled in heaven. And Jesus said in the prayer that he prayed in John 17, Thy word is truth. And Jesus said also in the book of St. John, chapter 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So if you have Jesus Christ, you have the truth. If you're only a church member, you only have a profession of religion. So buy the truth, sell it not, live it out in your life, and know the blessings whenever you stand before the Lord in judgment, and you hear him say, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Heavenly Father, we pray that you will bless these thoughts to our precious congregation today, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Our mailing address, The Way of Truth Broadcast, Post Office Box 88, Hagerstown, Maryland, 21741. And remember, if you would desire a copy of this booklet, Why the Millennial Doctrine is Not Biblical, all you need to do is write and ask for it, providing us with your name and address. The Way of Truth Broadcast, Post Office Box 88, Hagerstown, Maryland, 21741, USA. Our email address, truth@fred.net. Our webpage address, www.wayoftruth.org. You may listen to our services. Join us in our services 20 minutes before 11 on Sunday morning, 6 o'clock in the evening, by going to our webpage, for our services are broadcast live, www.wayoftruth.org. And now, this is Avinay Craig inviting you to be with us on our next broadcast, trusting the Lord will bless you until then.
My soul in sad exile was out on life's sea, so burdened with sin and distress, till I heard a sweet voice saying, Make me your choice. Then I entered the haven of rest. I've anchored my soul in the haven of rest. I'll sail the wide seas no more. The tempest may sweep o'er the wild stormy deep, in Jesus I'm safe evermore. The song of my soul, since the Lord made me whole, has been the old story so of Jesus who'll save whosoever will have a home in the haven of
the haven of rest, I'll sail the wide seas no more. The tempest may sweep o'er the wild stormy deep, in Jesus I'm safe ever. Come anchor your soul in the haven of rest and say, my beloved is mine. I've anchored my soul in the haven of rest. I'll say God sees no more. The tempest may sweep o'er the wild stormy deep, in Jesus' name.